This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
I want to thank you for listening and for all your support as we at Death, Sex, and Money have made our move to Slate. Your stories, voice memos, and emails have meant so much to the team. As part of this transition, there's a new way to support our show financially at Slate, our new home, and you'll get something special in return. Subscribe to Slate Plus, and you'll not only support our work on Death, Sex, and Money, you'll get access to new benefits, including listening to us and all of the other great shows Slate makes, like Slow Burn and Decoder Ring, without any ads or sponsor breaks. To subscribe, just click Try Free at the top of the Death, Sex, and Money show page on Apple Podcasts, or visit slate.com/DSM+ to get access wherever you listen. Thanks. Hey, everyone, it's Anna. We recently got an email from a listener named Lindsay. She's a nurse practitioner who lives in Philadelphia, and she's currently working in an ICU in New Jersey, about an hour and a half away from home. She normally works in pediatric oncology, but because her husband has already had the coronavirus, she volunteered to work with adult COVID patients for the time being. Lindsay is 28, and she's been working as a nurse since she was in her early 20s. And we here on the team thought her email about her job right now and struggling with what a good death means today was really important and beautiful. So we asked her to record her thoughts. Here's Lindsay.
I've been surrounded by death in my job. I mean, as an oncology nurse, I've watched children before taking them to the morgue. I've comforted families as they leave the hospital without a child and mourned and grieved with my coworkers for a life cut so short. In end-of-life care and oncology, we focus a lot on what constitutes a good death for a patient and their family. Obviously, there are some unexpected deaths that are devastating, but the oncology community is a small one, and we really try to grieve together as a family against, you know, the insidious enemy that is cancer. But COVID is really changing the way I'm seeing death. I knew patients were sick and I knew healthcare workers were struggling. But what I didn't even fathom is that like the deaths that you see from COVID are the worst kind. Right now I'm at a small community hospital without many resources. They have one iPad in the whole hospital for families to FaceTime their loved ones, but the iPad can't go in the room to bring them close because then it's considered contaminated. Families schedule a time, but if the nurse can't get away from another patient or is in an emergency, it just all goes out the window. So we're making do with what we have. I'm FaceTiming families with my personal phone. I write down notes about patients on Post-its in hopes they'll be given to the family after they pass. One I wrote the other day was that I washed Mr. Johnson's hair today and I saw the scar behind his right ear. I'd love to know the story of how he got it. There's no stopping the deaths, though, in this time of COVID. You watch the numbers go down on the monitor, and you try to call the family, but you can't be in the room with them as they pass. You can't hold a patient's hand as they pass away. You can't expose yourself that often. It has happened in our hospital that some of the families don't find out their loved one has passed until 24 hours or even 48 hours later, when they call and they realize that there's a new patient in their loved one's room. None of these deaths are what I consider a good death. There's no time to grieve. There's no time to know the people who slipped through your fingers, whose hair you washed, whose bodies you bathed, and who you talked to during your shift to soothe yourself and them. It's simultaneously the most intimate and most anonymous relationship I've ever had. I don't really have an answer for this question. I'm not sure if there's an expert who can tell me how to do a better job as a nurse in the time of COVID, but I just wanted to reach out because this is the question I ask myself every single shift. How do I as a nurse, or how do we as a healthcare community, give patients a good death during a global pandemic?
That's Lindsay. If you've got a message for her or thoughts about her question, send in a voice memo or an email to deathsexmoney@wnyc.org.
Hi, I'm Josh Levine. My podcast, The Queen, tells the story of Linda Taylor. She was a con artist, a kidnapper, and maybe even a murderer. She was also given the title The Welfare Queen, and her story was used by Ronald Reagan to justify slashing aid to the poor. Now, it's time to hear her real story. Over the course of 4 episodes, you'll find out what was done to Linda Taylor, what she did to others, and what was done in her name.
The great lesson of this, for me, is that people will come to their own conclusions based on what their prejudices are.
Subscribe to The Queen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now.